it's so important for a creator to create a brand that is on brand for them. You know,
And it's on brand.
like Nelk Boys, Happy Dad is big because it's on brand for Nelk. You know, if Happy Dad, if Nelk Boys came out with a chocolate chip cookie, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like
They'd
that wouldn't
sell
work.
them just because they
They
have an
sell, they do
audience.
all right, but it wouldn't crush. It wouldn't be as on brand. But maybe they wouldn't sell because you gotta remember, Happy Dad's gonna be 2 years old in June. They keep promoting it over and over. They have not given up. There's been no gas taken from the tank.
I'm Tom Ward, and over the last couple years, I've had the chance to sit down with some of the biggest celebrities and influencers in the world. What I've always found most fascinating is the stories of the businesses that they've built behind the scenes. On this show, you'll get an inside look of what it takes to build a successful business from some of the biggest celebrities, business people, and up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the world. This is The Tom Ward Show.
Guys, welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the most successful entrepreneurs in the world, and every week they teach you how to elevate your business and your work life. And today we've got John Shahidi. We're here at the Happy Dad headquarters. He's president of Happy Dad, Full Send, and Shots. Let's not sleep on Shots.
No.
The largest YouTube podcast company, I think, out there, right?
We're up there as the biggest network on YouTube. Obviously, there's podcast networks that are crushing it on Spotify and audio. But we, Shots is very focused on YouTube first, or video first podcast.
Okay.
You know, Full Send Podcast, obviously leading the way, Pivot Podcast, a couple more that are actually launching in the next few months.
You know, it's wild too, is the first time I met you was when I started doing this probably 6 years ago at your old, shout out to Shots, the old place off of Sunset in Hollywood. And it's so wild to see you kind of here where we are right now, and hopefully you let us shoot some B-roll. So insert B-roll footage here. We're going to see the whole place. But to go from kind of managing Lele and Rudy and kind of those great creators in their own right with huge followings, but kind of more G-rated, to kind of going the exact opposite way with these guys. But not only that, you went from the whole business models kind of changed from, I'm guessing with those guys, it was brand deals. Brand deals, AdSense revenue, that's the business model, right? So you go from here 5-6 years later to, this is a whole other thing. We're building real long-lasting companies that will hopefully last far beyond the creator's, you know, career. Is that the biggest change you've seen in the current the creator space over the last 5-6 years?
Yeah, I think you know, one thing I've learned is brands aren't loyal. You know, so you know, they'll cut you a check now, but like if anything starts dipping, or even you say one thing that someone at their company took offense to, you know, they you don't see that deal get renewed. You know, I would say 90% of the deals that we were doing with old creators, they were one-offs. Brands never renewed the deals. They always found an excuse to go find the next person on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. So it was kind of exhausting. It's like, you know, every couple months you got to pitch another brand. So when the world of Nelk came, you know, when the world of Nelk and me and my brother kind of came together, it was like, you know, one of the first things Kyle told me is like, dude, I don't really give a, can we cuss here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Are we 2 minutes in? Because YouTube says first 2 minutes, don't cuss.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who bleep this?
I just don't want, I just don't want your video to get restricted.
Nah, you're good.
See this. But yeah, so, you know, Kyle was like, I don't give a about brands. I'm going to build brands. I was like, dude, that's music in my ears. Like, that's what we've been trying to do over the years. So, obviously, Full Send was already created by him and his partner. And, but, you know, we came in and kind of helped take that to another level. And, but then Happy Dad, you know, Happy Dad was something that we started from scratch. And I think it was a great example, which now you're seeing so many other creators.
The D'Amelios, everybody.
Logan Prime.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like
KSI.
Yeah, Logan and KSI doing their thing. I think, obviously, Mr. Beast. You know, so I think, you know, I always say this is, I think every creator is going to have a product of their own. You know, maybe most will get into alcohol business, but those who can't get into alcohol because whether they're not drinkers themselves or their audience skews very young, you know, they're going to create a product of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the future of creators. I think every creator is going to learn. And I think that's when brands are going to run into some trouble.
Oh, for sure. So first of all, how did you even hook up with the guy? So how did you go from kind of the Shots crew to these guys? Like, how did that even happen?
Well, our whole business kind of like the Shots business really fell apart during COVID. We had to stop production because of California laws, and you know, creators were afraid to create because they didn't want to get canceled. You know, like they didn't want to post nothing that they were around other humans or, you know.
Oh yeah, going to a party, that could be it. If they get spotted out.
Yeah, I mean, even like there were some creators that would post like pictures with their parents, and they're like, "Dude, you're too close to your parents." You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that you know, all that COVID nonsense, which now, you know, back then everyone's terrified. Now realizing it's whatever, but it's you know, I think that really kind of hurt our business, because the problem is with YouTube is, you know, the YouTube algorithm doesn't know you're not posting because of laws or whatever reason, mental health or anything. It just sees you're not uploading. It does not care. The algorithm doesn't care. And once the algorithm doesn't like you, you're out. Like, it's very hard. That's why you very rarely see a creator take like a 3 month, 6 month, 1 year break and come back and still crush it. The algorithm's kicked you out. You always have to go. And that's something I feel bad for so many creators, because the ones who know that, like, they just go against that pressure all the time. Nelk included, you know, Kyle's always like, dude, create. I mean, they're not here. They, you know, flew to Florida last second to do a podcast tomorrow. So there's an episode next week.
Yep.
You know, it's like creators are always got to be creating, or the algorithm's just going to kick you out. TikTok algorithm's like that too. You know, if you're not always consistently feeding the beast, the algorithm's going to find someone else, and then it doesn't look for you ever again.
Well, just pulling that real quick. So the way I look at things is I'm in this on a much, much, much smaller level. But to me, when I look at you guys, I go, why even bother with YouTube, right? The podcast, no one's going to just ban you. No one's just going to ban Steve off your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But in YouTube, all of a sudden, certain creators, nope, they can't be seen, or the video gets taken down. You have a certain guest on, the video gets taken down. Why deal with all the headaches, and why not go, I'll stay with the podcast. People listen a lot longer than they watch, if you don't know that, right? A podcast listener to me seems almost more valuable because they're more loyal. You have more control over things. You don't have somebody sitting somewhere, just somebody at the office who can, you know, shut your video down. You don't even get an answer. What happened? Why? Were you going to tell us? It seems so. Why mess with YouTube? Why not just go all in on the audio podcast?
YouTube's still the second biggest website in the world. It's the number one video platform in the world. It's the number one social network in the world. You know, it's global. So, you know, if we're going to build these brands, we still need the eyeballs. You know, we need people to see Happy Dad. Mm-hmm. I'm not drinking Happy Dad, but someone's looking at this right now.
Yep.
You know, so we need that. Yeah. You know, all that, you know, so, and, you know, so we need the eyeballs.
Do you guys do commercials in it, or is it just the commercial for Happy Dad? Do you still do, because I was watching some of the videos doing prep for this, and I'm like, I see a lot of Happy Dad, quote unquote, commercials, or it's not even, it's just kind of integrated in the content.
Yeah.
But will you do just like a random Doritos or Pepsi brand deal in there too? Or do you just focus on, hey, we're just going to build our own stuff?
We're looking to build our own stuff. We do have some partners though. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even though I said that about brands, you know, we do have some great partners, like Price Picks is a great partner of ours. Right now, I would probably say, but it's also on brand because the guys actually use Price Picks. Everyone in his office uses Price Picks. It's a daily fantasy app where you just select certain players to, you know, score more or less points or rebounds if it's NBA. And you kind of like put them together and you create like your own mini fantasy team. We were already using it. We all have group chats. We have multiple group chats on who's, you know, going with who tonight. So we were already using it. So when Price Picks came to us, we said, we already love your product. So sure, you know, and they've been, they're outside the box thinkers at Price Picks. So they, you know, so just like everything, like awesome guys, awesome product. It's not cheesy, you know, it's fun. So to us, like, all right, we'll entertain this partnership. There are a lot of people who reach out that were like, not sure, you know. The goal here is to build these channels, or even with Shots, build the Shots network to build more brands And right now we've got a gold mine with Happy Dad. So, you know, the focus, you know, it's one of those sayings where, you know, if you strike oil, keep drilling. And the way Happy Dad's growing right now, it's like, you know, that's the primary focus.
Okay. What was first when you guys hooked up? Was it Happy Dad, or was it the Full Send podcast, or did they already have that going on? What was the first thing you guys worked on together?
It was everything. We talked about a bunch of different things. Optimizing merch, creating more merch, doing collabs with cool people. You know, there was a UFC collab, Mike Tyson collab, Snoop Dogg collab, The Baby collab, recently Hezbollah collab. So, you know, doing like cool collabs.
I saw that video where you guys went to Dagestan. Dude, I was rolling laughing.
Yeah.
It's just so entertaining.
I didn't go. I wish I went.
Yeah, and he just got a collab with Market. You know, the streetwear brand too. I just saw they dropped a collab with them last week. That kid's killing it.
Yeah.
Not kid, I should. That guy's killing it.
20 years ago, well, we just spent like 10 days with him. He was here.
Really?
Yeah, he literally just left 2 days.
What's he like? Is he just always fun? I mean,
he's very, very, very funny, but he's also sharp.
Really?
Like, he's super sharp. He knows what. We went to a Lakers game with him on Friday.
I saw that. That was a great shot. Yeah, I saw you on Instagram.
He's on his Instagram insights the whole time. Like when he's on his phone, he's not browsing or trying. He's on his insights, like looking at numbers, what posts do well. He's a very, very sharp guy, even on a business side. Like, you know, he was sharing with us like some of the deals that he's been like throwing at him. And he's like, no, like he doesn't like doing a lot of different deals. And on top of that, he's just a sharp dude that just like understands business, but he's also funny.
Yeah.
He's like a sweetheart. Like he's just him. And there's a couple guys that work with him, Sergey and Corbin. And like these two, like they're just the sweetest guys. Like,
nice.
Yeah. They left 2 days ago, and you didn't want to be around any of us yesterday. We were all like depressed yesterday.
Oh, because they were gone?
Yeah, we were all like sad. Like I've been on my phone, like just like literally looking at videos of me and him together this last week and like all this stuff. He was just a sweetheart.
But, and where's he go now? Did he just go back to Dagestan?
Yeah, he's back to Dagestan, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He flew to Dubai, and from Dubai, taking a flight to Dagestan.
Damn, is he coming back anytime soon?
I hope so.
He's killing it, man. He touches down in LA, hangs out with all the celebs.
Yeah.
Floor seats to the Lakers game. He's got a streetwear brand collab, and he's out. He's doing big things.
Hangs out with Dana White. Hangs out with Kyle. Hangs out with who else? Mike Tyson. A couple of days ago, he went on Mike Tyson's podcast. That was unexpected. He was just supposed to meet Mike Tyson. He didn't really want to meet a lot of people. He doesn't really care about celebrities.
Oh, he doesn't get here and want to meet everyone.
He doesn't care. He doesn't really care about celebrities. There was like two people he really cared about. One person alive, Mike Tyson, and then he wanted to go and see Muhammad Ali's star in Hollywood.
Okay.
And took a picture of it. Like that's, like you know, those are the only, like he just, it's not like he came here and he's like, I want to meet this guy, that YouTuber, this musician. He didn't really care.
Wow.
He wanted to meet Mike and he wanted to take a picture with Muhammad Ali's star.
You know, it's funny, that's the best attitude to have too, because everyone wants to meet him
because
he's probably not really seeking it out or trying to be a Hollywood kind of guy.
He doesn't care about any of that. Everyone keeps hitting me up like, what do you think about movies with this guy? What do you think about this? I'm like, dude, I don't think he's going to want to do any of that.
Yeah.
He just wants to live life. Like, he just, yeah, he's a sweetheart. So hopefully he's watching.
Yes.
I miss you, buddy.
You guys just have built such a cool kind of community, I guess, is the best. I mean, community is such a buzzword now, especially in the creator world. It's community. But, you know, the Nelk guys really have, and you guys, Full Send, Happy Dad, it all kind of goes together.
It's a brotherhood, man. It's like,
when you walk in here and you see the staff and stuff, it all seems like just a bunch of dudes hanging out.
Everyone's family, and the staff from security up front to everyone's family. The creators, you know, Kyle, Steve, Salim, now Hezbollah, you know, everyone's family, are, you know, Gabriel, Aaron, Jimmy, we've got a pretty special team here. I think it makes coming to work fun. You know, I'm here pretty damn early and I stay here till night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here almost every single day and it's like, I love coming here. I love, you know, I usually wake up every morning. I wake up, text messages from Steeple to it. Every morning, like that's the first thing I see. I wake up at 4:30 a.m.
What time's he up?
Later, but he'll text me like 11 or 12 at night.
And you see him,
I wake up in the morning because I go to bed super early, and it's like whether ideas or you know, panic attack, whatever it is. Like, it's like every morning my eyes open up to Steve will do a text. But I love it. Like, yeah, he's my little brother, you know? So whatever he needs, if it's an idea, we're going to collab together and take that idea to another level. If he's worried about something, we'll help problem solve that, you know? So, yeah. But it's like, you know, that's all we are. Like, everyone's helps each other. You know, Salim just launched a podcast last night.
I just saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and he was obviously nervous, you know, like, podcast, very different content he put on his main channel where people are more used to pranks, so they're not necessarily used to, you know, so he's really nervous. And I got on the phone with him last night and just told him, like, listen, everything's gonna be fine, ignore the negative comments, and don't forget, actually, comments are good for the algorithm anyways, but ignore it. It's the first one, focus on episode 2. You and Jay get together, you know, so like, we're always, everyone's like always helping each other. It's a family here.
When you, I mean, you've built companies before, you've got this. So, okay, you sit down with the guys and go, okay, we want to come up with a hard seltzer company. We want to do an alcohol brand, right? There's a lot of work that goes on behind that. Oh, yeah. You know, forget, first of all, why buy? I mean, of all businesses, alcohol seems like the biggest headaches. You know, you got the different states to deal with. You've got distributor networks. You got all these quote unquote headaches. Every state's different how you go to market. Why, first of all, why even mess with alcohol? Isn't there, you know, wasn't there an easy way, easier business to start?
Two things. One is, I had zero idea the headaches that were going to come with it. I had no idea.
Like, okay.
Obviously, I knew the no-brainer laws.
Yeah.
But there's so many other micro laws that you just don't know about, period.
Mm-hmm.
The distributor, you know, the distributor stuff I thought was easy. You just go get a distributor. But there's so much politics that go with distributors, you know, and, you know, we've been, most states, we've been extremely lucky to have great distributors.
Mm-hmm.
Most, almost all states, you know, I would say, you know, we have been very, very lucky because the couple states, there's really two of them that we did not choose the right ones. We realized, makes us realize how valuable a distributor is in the alcohol business. So,
and you can't just fire a distributor. Is that how it works? It depends. Or you're just pretty much married.
Yeah, you're married. Yeah, you got contracts. Actually, some states, there's franchise laws. You're in there for life. That distributor has to agree to let you out. But it's a lifetime. They're super old laws. These are more in the Northeast.
Wow.
But, like, yeah, it's like you're in there for
choose
life.
Wisely.
Yeah, choose wisely. But that's something else we didn't know about, right? Franchise laws. Well, this guy sold us a big game. I guess we'll go with them for life or her. And, yeah, and then you just realize, like, oh, wow. Now they go in and sign some other seltzer or some other drink, and they forgot about us. You know, they, like, you know, kind of pitch you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a Hollywood agent, right? Sign with us, and, you know, sell, we're going to make your dreams. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they go, you know, then there's that next person that's
hello, paying. Where
yeah.
are you there?
Yeah. Remember what happened? Like, you know, but I heard you, congrats, you signed this new person, but don't forget about me. But to answer your question, if I were to do it again,
mm-hmm.
I would do an alcohol. It's so important for a creator to create a brand
mm-hmm.
that is on brand for them. You know, like brand. Yeah, like Nelk Boys, Happy Dad is big because it's on brand for Nelk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Happy Dad, if Nelk Boys came out with a chocolate chip cookie, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
they'd sell them just because they have an audience.
They do all right, yeah. But it wouldn't crush. It wouldn't be as on brand. But maybe they wouldn't sell because you gotta remember, Happy Dad's gonna be 2 years old in June. They keep promoting it over and over. They have not given up. There's been no gas taken from the tank. Like, it's we're still fueling it, mm-hmm. fueling it, and fueling it because it makes sense. It's on brand.
Yep.
2 years later, they wouldn't be able to still slang chocolate chip cookies.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it's only so much you could, Nelk Boys could promote something that's off brand.
Yeah.
But the alcohol's in everything. We wear it. We drink it. It's in the background of things. Like,
I was just in an event. Do you know Sean Kelly?
Of course.
Yeah, I was at an event. He had some event the other night. I never go anywhere, but I ended up going to this. I walk in. Happy Dad hoodie on.
Did you do a podcast with him? I saw something on one of your stories.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go see him next weekend. Okay, he's going to have me on a show. Yeah, which is cool. But I walk in. He's there with 200 people. Everybody's looking at him. Boom, Happy Dad hoodie on.
Well, what's happened with Happy Dad is it's become like a cool thing to rock. There's been a lot of bars that we've went and pitched Happy Dad. And, like, I remember there was one bar in Texas. My brother and I had a meeting with the owner. 2 minutes into the meeting, I didn't even say anything. 2 minutes in, he's like, all right, I'm kicking out. everything I'm putting you guys in. I'm like, oh wow, like I didn't say anything. Like what? Like what's? He's like, no, you didn't say anything. You didn't have to say anything. I'd made that decision before because your product makes my bar look cool. You know, like we didn't talk pricing. We didn't do any. We don't talk pricing with retailers anyways. It goes through distributors, but yeah. We didn't talk promo or this or that. We didn't even have to sell them. I'm like, yeah, you know, more people like us because of this and that. We didn't have to do anything. But he said, your product makes my bar look cool. You know, so that's the thing that's, you know, with Happy Dad right now is like the beverage and the merch and the logo. You know, like we see it all the time. We had a tattoo artist show up to a bar once and was giving out free Happy Dad tattoos.
How many people got a tattoo?
There was a line of at least 20 people.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Now, I've had some tattoos laser removed, you know, from bad decisions when I was younger.
Those may have been. This was a year ago, so they might be gone now, but they did it.
But 20 yeah. people. I mean, yeah. Talk about your saying something about your brand. I mean, would somebody get a tattoo of a chocolate chip cookie brand they
that's
just started?
I mean. That's what
Hell
I mean.
No.
That's what I mean.
But it's on brand and it's cool.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's we've done a very great job. Specifically, the Nelk Boys have done a great job of making the brand cool. Like, it's cool to rock.
Now, talk merch, all right? Now, David Dobrik has shared merch numbers here with me. Logan Paul has shared merch numbers with me. So, you're going to share merch numbers with me, hopefully. Respectfully, hopefully you will. But David Dobrik, I'll never forget, and I was clueless to this idea. This is your business, so you know all this shit, right? I had no idea. I interviewed David Dobrik the first time I interviewed him in his old house. And when we were done, he had the pool table, and he's got all this merch there, and he had his merch people there. And he said, hey, Tom, will you check out my new stuff? And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, cool, whatever. I go, how much merch do you sell? I see people wearing clickbait shirts all the time. I'm like, I have no idea. Like, do you sell $10,000 a day in merch or $100,000 a week? Like, I have no frame of reference. And he was telling me, he goes, the Thanksgiving weekend, you know, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving to the Cyber Monday, he goes, I sold $1 million in merch. Now, this is 4 years ago, so it's huge. Yeah. I was like, I almost fell over. I tell Logan that story during an interview, and he goes, you want to get crazy? I go, what? He goes, during that same week, he goes, I do $1 million a day.
Wow.
I go, $1 million a day in fucking merch. Are you kidding? I mean, this is the kind of numbers, like, what are you guys doing? Are you in that conversation?
It depends. We don't do $1 million a day, but I mean, there.
But that was just during the holiday week.
I think it came out about a year or so ago. New York Times wrote a story, and we confirmed it was true. That I forgot the number, but it was like between 50 and 60 million a year is what we do in merch.
Are you kidding me?
Now, that number's changed a little bit because now we have two merch sites. We have happydad.com and fullsend.com.
I got you. So that's combined.
Yeah. So, you know, but
well, who cares how you split it up? That's a lot of money.
Yeah. But one thing you got to understand, and this is like, I hope whoever's listening didn't just clip that part and you keep listening, is
no.
There's a lot of expenses. No, not you.
You know,
he said this. No. But don't forget, like,
that's not profit.
We do a lot. That's not profit.
No.
A lot of expenses, you know, between the two companies. We have over nearly 100 employees now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, between both companies, and Shots, if you include Shots in there, definitely over 100. And, you know, there's those expenses, but never mind those. Also, when we do collabs, which is a big part of our business now, we split the revenue.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? Like, I think there was a thing, Dana White was talking at the press conference of one of the, I think the fight, I don't know if it was a Power Slap press conference, but one of them, he was talking about, you know, like Hezbollah, like, you know, we split that money with him, you know, like when we do merch collabs. So you know, we don't keep all of that money. There's a lot of hard expenses that go, you know. So
but it's ringing the cash register a bunch of times.
Yeah. I mean, we got a beautiful office and we're able to, you know, pay a lot of the expenses here with that money. But it's good. It's a very difficult business though, you know. It's
because that's what creators lived and died by before, right? That was the old model, right? Brand deals and we got hoodies.
Yeah.
That seems like how it used to
be. Yeah, it's not a focus for us. It's not a focus because we do it because it's nice to have people rocking this because they become a billboard for what we really care about. We care about beverage sales.
Okay.
You know, like that's what we want people to go into the stores or go on their favorite delivery app, Instacart, GoPuff, Drizzly, whomever. and you know, and buy the drink. You know what I mean? Like that's you know, we're building this business to, you know, we're in the liquid business. You know,
everything revolves around that. That's the core goal, it sounds like.
Yeah,
I mean, even everything leads to that.
Yeah, if you see the podcasts, almost every podcast, Happy Dad, and not even Happy Dad yet. It's nice when the podcasters are wearing the Happy Dad merch, but you see a 12 pack or a can. I have a long day today, so that's why I'm not. You know, it's a little too early to crack one open, but usually I'm cracking one open on a podcast too. So it's usually something that we always, you know, on the podcast we'll always have. Mm-hmm. And if someone's not in the mood of drinking, we'll just display a 12 pack. But we're just trying to build that brand. So, you know, the 12 pack is very important in the podcast because the 12 pack is what you see when you go to the store. So you're watching this podcast, you see the 12 pack, you go to your local grocery store, you see the 12 pack on display, you're like, ah, fuck, that's what I saw on that podcast. Grab a 12 pack.
Yeah. You know, it's wild because it seems like, I mean, we're about the same age. It sounds like it used to be the motto would be, I mean, take a Howard Stern. Howard Stern's I grew up with him, right? He's the best to ever do it. I mean, mm-hmm. $500 million deal with Sirius. Yeah. I mean, the guy's the greatest ever, right? And I want to get to it. He gave you guys a great shout out too, which was awesome. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, the old motto was you pay him and we're on all the commercials behind him. Right. Mm-hmm. He's going to sell Budweiser. He's going to sell Doritos, all that. You guys have kind of taken that out. And it's like, no, we're the entertainers, you know, but we're also the owners. And we're going to give you the content. We're going to provide that because that's what you love us for. And we love doing that. But also, we've got a great product that we stand behind that we've built. We think you guys will like, too, that, you know, that's part of our content as well.
Yeah.
And that seems kind of like that's the model going forward, like we talked about before, not just with those guys, but all the big creators are doing it. And to some extent, you're seeing it kind of trickle down to that, the creator with a million or two followers on Instagram or a million or two subs on YouTube, they've got their own hard seltzer or they've got their own makeup line or whatever. So it seems like it's trickled down.
Well, imagine this, man. Imagine Howard Stern's always big, but imagine like Howard Stern late 90s, early 2000s. Imagine he fucking launched a tequila, right? Imagine that. And like every celebrity, every rock star, every porn star, every girl that came on his serious show or his radio show, like had to take a shot with him. You know what I mean? Like imagine like that. And that took a shot of, you know, whatever. You know, Howard's tequila. You know, like.
But it wasn't even a thought back then.
Yeah. But imagine if he did that. You know what I mean? I know he's got a gazillion dollars from his radio deals, but that's a $5 billion brand right there. Howard Stern tequila launched 25 years ago.
Oh my God.
You know, so I think that's the one thing. Now, Howard Stern's different because he gets a gazillion dollars from a.
Yeah.
Paid subscription radio station. So, you know, so they've got crazy, you know, they've Netflix money pretty much.
Yeah, that's a different
thing. Netflix money without the crazy expenses that Netflix has, right?
Yep.
Video servers and shit. I don't know, maybe satellites are expensive to maintain, but the difference is at least he's got that $500 million check. YouTubers, creators don't get those $500 million checks. You don't get your revenue comes from those merch sales from a few years ago, but those aren't as easy anymore. You know, AdSense dollars, paid bills, maybe you could pay your editor and your camera guy with it, but that's about it. Brands, like I said, are not loyal. You're gonna get that one check from whomever. You're a female creator, you get that $200,000 CoverGirl check. CoverGirl's not coming back, bro. I gotta tell you that right now. They're gonna ask for the 10 posts or whatever they ask for, and that's it. They're not coming back.
Yep. There's always a younger, prettier girl out there, and you're constantly fighting that.
There's always, look at TikTok, man.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Every 4 months, literally three, four times a year, someone comes up to me. You see this girl on TikTok?
Yep.
Look, she's blown up.
It's Alex Earl, but there's gonna be another Alex Earl 6 months from now.
Yeah. I hope she crushes it though. She's dope.
Yeah, she is dope.
She might be here to stay. But she has a. This is something that's really important with creators.
What?
You gotta have a solid team as well.
Yeah.
You gotta have a fucking team. You can't just do this shit on your own. You know what I mean? Like Alex Earl's got a solid team. You know?
Yeah,
like,
she's got real management, didn't she? Who'd she sign with?
She was UTA, but she's like Orin. Like he's like the fucking like the ultimate agent.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not talking about shark, like good human being as well, which people love doing business with them, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a difference. There's the sharks as agents, managements, whatever.
You've seen them all, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've seen them all. It's like, dude, I'm never doing business with that fucking piece of shit. I don't care if I can make $10 million. I'm not getting on the phone with that guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Then there's the guys that like, I've done 10 different deals. They haven't gone, they went south. They didn't do well, but the guy's a sweetheart. I'll get on the phone with him.
Yep.
Now, Oren is a little different at UTA. Like, he's like, he crushes it, and he's a sweet person. And that's who Alex Earl has on her side.
Oh, wow.
So that's like, you know, when I heard that, I was like, all right, that this might be the one that's going to be here to stay.
Oh, I mean, she was putting up numbers when she came out. I'm like, I haven't seen that since Emma Chamberlain. Yeah. Like, these, I mean, this
I think Oren's Emma Chamberlain's agent.
Oh, is he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know she's with UTA, but I'm pretty sure.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking Howard before. I wanted to give you guys a compliment too, especially Kyle. So I listen to him all the time. I'm a big fan.
Kyle, if you're listening, you got to come on this show.
Yes, Kyle, come on, man.
Kyle could spit some business with you.
Well, you know, it's wild. So I'm listening to Howard, and it really showed me how 2023 is different now. He's playing your OJ interview on his show.
I did hear about that.
And it was wild because 5 years ago, Kyle who?
Yeah.
OJ is on Howard.
Yeah.
Well, OJ wouldn't be on Howard because Howard's been calling him a murderer for 20 years, right? Yeah. But he would be on a show like that.
We did too a little bit.
Did you really?
Oh, well, we asked him like 4 times if he did the crime.
Well, Howard actually gave Kyle props. He goes, man, I really like how this kid's doing the interview. He's like,
I heard about this. I haven't seen it. Someone told me
once. We should get you the of it. I was like impressed because I'm like, I know you guys, what you're doing. I need to hear Howard give that, like, kind of that. It's kind of almost like the mainstream given. I mean, because to me, he's the greatest interviewer ever. To him saying that to Kyle, I was like, wow, man, he should really like pat himself on the back for that one.
Yeah.
But he was just saying like what a good job he did interviewing, because, you know, you don't give an interview is tough. You've done them. I do these. You, especially when you want to get something out of somebody, you don't want to be like gotcha journalism either.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's like, it's all finesse. You kind of have to give a little, then kind of hit him here, then kind of come back, circle back, and he just did it masterfully. He really did a good job with the juice. I like that.
That was a crazy one.
How'd you guys even put that together,
bro? You know who Bob Minner is?
Wait, how do I know that name?
He was host of the podcast originally.
Okay, but
anyways, he knew OJ's guy, and he connected me with him.
Okay.
And he connected me with him, and OJ's guy was like, yeah, we'll see, and, you know, and we the boys really wanted him on, so we were like, all right, what if we offered some money? We never offer anybody money.
But you don't pay for guests, right?
We don't pay for guests.
Okay.
But we're like, but they wanted him on, and Bob and everyone were like, dude, let's just, it might be worth it. Like,
is OJ pay to play? He's not showing up without a check or what?
That's what we assumed.
Okay.
So hit up his guy. His guy's like, listen, it's not about that for him. He's got to like you guys.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, sorry. You know, I was like, last time I'm asking, you know, offering money for a guest. And so anyways, it's like, this was like, I forgot, over a year ago. And then his guy hit me back. He's like, hey, would you guys still want OJ on? I was like, I think so. I asked Kyle. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, hey, listen, but we can't offer the money. He's like, no, we don't want the money. OJ saw the Elon episode. There was three podcasts that he saw. Elon, Mark Cuban, and one other one. I forgot.
Talk about some guests, man.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. It was one other one that he saw, and he's like, he's actually a fan of this. He would like to come on.
Oh,
like,
wow. Oh,
all right. So that's where we set up. And
where'd you do that?
In Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, in Vegas. There was actually a restaurant. We tried to go to restaurants that carry Happy Dad to show them love, give them a shout out.
Nice.
And I said, hey, what do you think about this restaurant? And he's like, actually, OJ loves that restaurant. It's down the street from Sal's, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So we did it there at a restaurant in Vegas. I didn't go. I was too nervous because I knew they were going to ask the question. I didn't know how he was going to take it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to set this one back. I actually have a meeting in Atlanta. I'm just going to knock that meeting out while you guys do this. I flew to Atlanta. I literally flew to the other side of the fucking country.
3,000 miles away.
Yeah, I'm going to knock out this Atlanta meeting. Let me know how it goes.
What was his reaction, OJ's? I mean, I think Kyle did a good...
You guys got to play it.
Well, insert, like, yeah, insert a clip here. Yeah, we'll put it right in.
Yeah.
When you die, are you like, in any way scared to face God?
Nope. I look forward to it. Yeah. As I said, I know where my weaknesses were. As I said, I regret being unfaithful. You know, I think I made up, hopefully I made up for it in my other deeds. But we'll see.
Yeah, because I meant, like, obviously there's so many rumors, whatever, but only you really know the truth, so I guess...
No, I'm not the only one that knows the truth. There's others that know the truth. Yeah.
People like what? Like who?
Who did it?
People know?
No, I don't know if people know, but somebody knows.
Do you have any way to, like, respond to that? Like, if you had to answer who did it?
No, I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
But I think he did a good job. I mean, he wasn't disrespectful, I don't think, in any way. But, you know, he gave the audience what they want.
He did. He found the balance of that. Yeah, he found the balance. It was funny.
How do you guys, with the behind the scenes, right? So, I mean, somebody watching this, everybody wants to have a podcast. Now, it seems like everybody does have a podcast. Yeah. I heard, you know, I do a lot of prep for these things, which if you're trying to start a podcast, these things don't just happen, right? There's hours and hours that go into this to make this seem like a natural conversation. So do your homework. But when I was doing my homework, I found out that you actually helped rate some of the questions. What's like, so you go, okay, there's a great picture, we'll insert that, of you and Elon Musk. Talk about about as big a guest as you can get.
Yeah.
You get Elon, now what? What's the behind the scenes? How do you guys prep for an interview like with Elon? Do you give him notes? Do you guys have brainstorming sessions? Like, what's the behind the scenes?
No, I usually write the questions if I came up, if it's like a guest that I help book.
Okay.
Because like I know that person, I know what'll make that person comfortable. I want that person to feel as comfortable as possible, but also I want it to feel like milk, a little bit edgy, but not disrespectful. And on top of that, like, you know, what does Kyle want to talk to him about too, right? Because there are some things that Kyle just doesn't really care to talk about.
Sure.
You know, like, so... you know, just kind of finding the balance. Like, you know, it's like even back in the day with like when I was in the music business, like I would help some of the artists in the, you know, that I work with, you know, come up with whether it was a producer with the melodies and the production of the songs, the beats, or even like the songwriting. But like, you gotta like, it's very, very similar to that. Is like, you gotta put yourself in their head and like almost, you know, and just kind of be
in the guest head.
In the host.
Oh, it's Kyle.
Because I would come up with the questions for the host.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
The guests actually rarely ever see it. I think one time someone, I think it was Mike Tyson, he's like, oh, there were questions here the whole time? Right? Like, No, that's not for you, sir. but yeah, so I think it's really, you got to put yourself in like, and the questions are usually, yeah, they're usually for our hosts. And yeah, you just got to kind of put yourself in their head and just be like, all right, like, what would they want to ask? They don't always ask, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it frustrates me. I was like, dude, like, I put up, you know, 20 questions. You asked one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they don't, like, they, but it kind of sets the tone, right? That one question, you know, asking Mark Cuban about, you know, his worst Shark Tank investment leads to talking about business and other opportunities, and it led to them talking about Happy Dad. And you know, it's like that one question will help, you know, kind of set the tone of the podcast. To, you know, now the Mark Cuban one was mostly about business and Elon and Bill Gates and stuff like that, you know, versus like, you know, talking about maybe something else that's more topical, which is, you know, what most people would do is like, hey Mark, what'd you think about the Warriors game last night, blah blah blah, you know, that might be relevant for a couple more days, people forget.
You want evergreen.
And that's what the Mark Cuban or almost all our episodes are. Very, very important. It's so tricky to find the balance between evergreen and topical, because topical gets clicks. You know, Mark Cuban talks about Warriors game and refs mess up, and
everyone NBA's will share up. That today.
Everyone will share that today, right? So it gets the clips and gets the instant views, but then it, you know, the content dies in 2 weeks. So it's really, it's and that's what Folsend and The Pivot as well, they've done a great job of finding the balance between the two.
So if the person watching this who has a podcast, they're just starting out, no one's watching, no one's listening, they're kind of just getting their foot in and getting their feel for it, what advice do you have? You've been around some of the best to do it. What advice do you have for the young podcaster watching this on just how to do that, how to balance, how to get views, how to get engagement, how to have a good show.
Yeah, the most important thing in a podcast, number one most important thing, is a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice equipment, which you've got great equipment here. That's important, but not
as important. It's not the most important.
It's not the most important. I mean, remember when David Dobrik had his podcast, the old one, I forgot what it was, Views.
Views, yeah.
It was him on a fucking couch with a microphone. You know what I mean? Like, there was, I don't even know if he had a camera guy. He probably just hit record and started filming it, you know?
Yep.
A great conversation.
Trumps everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what does a great conversation mean? You could talk on topical stuff, but also you got to get someone to, you know, it's kind of like when you were kids and you would like listen to someone's phone call, you would tap in, you know, that's what a podcast is, right? You're just hearing a couple of people talk and you're like tapped into their phone call, but you're only going to tap in on a phone call if it's like some good shit, you know what I mean, that you're hearing, yep. You know, whether you learn something or it's juicy, whatever. And that's the thing with a podcast is you're really tapping in on a conversation. And, you know, so you got to like kind of learn, you know, if you're not juicy, you got to learn something from that podcast, which is why Joe Rogan, in my opinion, is so powerful. It's like, dude, like, not only do I learn something from Joe Rogan episodes, I learn something from every one of his clips. That's why his clips do so well. Like, yep. I could watch a 5-minute clip, I learn something.
Yep.
And I could take it away and I could come back and if I'm going to dinner.
And it could be something about, you know, gut health or the pyramids in Egypt.
Yeah, testosterone.
Just like, anything.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that's the biggest advice is that. Now, fancy equipment and production is also helps you now kind of stand out,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, you know, because there are so many podcasts. So now you got to get someone, especially with YouTube, you know, like I said, we're a visual first, video first company. So like visual is very important to us. So the visuals got to be important for you to stand out now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just production, thumbnails, titling, all that stuff is very important. Audio quality is very important. Most people listen to podcasts with their AirPods,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they're, you know, at the gym or on a walk or whatever. And if they're not listening on it, they're most likely in a car commuting. So they're on car speakers, you know, so audio is very, very important as well. So you got to kind of put all those things together, but it starts with a great conversation. You mm-hmm. got to have a very great conversation. And if you're not juicy, which, you know, you don't need to be educational. You know,
yeah,
share some knowledge. That's why I go on these. I go on these because I like to share everything that I've learned in business, because I think most people who listen to me on a podcast, especially mm-hmm. that's why I want to do yours, is mm-hmm. I know they're like aspiring creators, you know, yeah. it's someone that wants to become a creator, whether they're
or
a creator
entrepreneur. Now. It's funny.
Yeah.
My dad was 25 to 35 year old. Really, it's weird when you look at that generation, and I heard you talk about Nelk's demo is like 25 to 30 year old. So it's kind of, there's some overlap there, but they're entrepreneurs / creators. It's kind of all together now.
But like, entrepreneurs are creators these days.
Yeah, it's kind of
like that's what I mean. When I think of an entrepreneur and a creator, is the same thing to me.
You look at them because you can't just, gone are the days where the 25-year-old doesn't want to just own a dry cleaner because it has a, you know, it has a good cash flow.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Maybe I'll own some dry cleaners, but I'm going to do it cool, and we're going to have a ridiculous Instagram page.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to do YouTube videos. Yep. You're going to meet my family who works there. And
I'm make funny TikToks. Like,
yeah.
All that stuff. Like, the Twitter's going to have personality. Yeah. So that's why entrepreneurs, you know, the new generation of entrepreneurs are all going to be creators. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
you're here doing this.
I'm doing this, you know.
You're on shows.
There's not a single post on the Happy Dad social medias that don't get ran by me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, usually it's me, Kyle, or Sammy, who are kind of like coming up with the content. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I'm not in those videos,
mm-hmm.
and I very rarely like to be in them.
Yeah.
But coming up with the content on the Happy Dad, now Happy Dad's Instagram's got a million followers, you know, so... So yeah, so I think entrepreneurs are creators.
You were talking music before too. Now, hopefully people will know this reference, but maybe not. So we'll insert a picture here. You kind of remind me of like, you're like the Rick Rubin of creators, kind of. If you don't know who Rick Rubin is, shame on you. He's, in my opinion, the greatest producer that's ever lived. But, you know, he's not a musician. He doesn't know how to play.
Oh, shit.
He doesn't know how to play. He doesn't even work his own board.
Oh, wow.
He has engineers who do that. He sits down with the artist And he's kind of just a Zen approach to things and maps things out and sets things in motions. And he's a relationship guy. Hey, this, you should get this songwriter on and you guys could come up with something good together.
Yeah,
and it seems like that's kind of, you're almost kind of like a Zen approach to, I don't need to be the star. Like, I've got some experience and I know the way things work. And I think this would be a good question for you. Or I think this would be a good collab for you guys. Or I think this would be a good business to get into. But it doesn't seem like it's John's show. It doesn't seem like John Shahidi says do this, so everybody. It doesn't seem like, it seems like with everything you do, it's more of a collaborative approach.
Yeah.
Is that how you structure your life and business?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I think Zen is a key word there. You know, I'm very, like, what you see is what you get with me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I like to... I'm 43 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I've owned a business since I was 18.
So what was your first business?
First business was a cell phone store.
Was it really? At 18?
Yeah, cell phone store. So I've learned, immediately after high school. In fact, I kind of dropped out of high school to do it. I didn't finish getting my diploma, but I've learned a lot since I was 18. This was when I was 18. I think it was 1998 or 1999. Now, like, I've learned a lot, and I think with the creators, you know, especially Kyle, Steve, Salim, you know, I like to share a lot of the things that I've learned from the past. And I've also had some failing business. I had a failing alcohol. We launched a tequila.
How long ago?
This is 2007 or 2008, before mm-hmm. social media was a thing. We had an alcohol. It's actually with the partners that we have with Happy Dad right now. Like, I called those guys again. I said, let's give alcohol a second chance. So, you know, I've had businesses that have failed. I've had alcohols that have failed. I've had businesses that have done well. You know, Shots is a great example. Shots will start as a YouTube network. Didn't do well as a YouTube network because couldn't make money. Pivoted to apps. App didn't make it. Went back to YouTube network. Crushed it as a YouTube network with Shot Studios. COVID hit. You know, got it hit in the head with a brick during COVID. Brought it back. Now it's a podcast network. Now the podcast network is incubating brands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've been through a lot of shit, you know what I mean? So I think... for me, it's really important to find good-hearted, talented creators and share with them my experience in life and my experience at business. And if they, some, you know, I've attempted with many that didn't work. Some won't get it, some will. And I think that's why Kyle and Steve and Salim and the boys here are so successful, is because, like, it's like their brain, their creativity, and as minimal roadblocks and hurdles as possible, so you could just get there. You know, just get on that train. I tell these guys, you guys are captains of the train. Just go, stay on the rails. You know, some people are gonna fall off the train. Some people are gonna jump on. You just keep fucking going, and I'm gonna help you fucking go. I'm gonna make sure the track's there, and you know the train's moving. But you guys just fucking take this train and go. You know, and I think that's kind of the empire we've built here.
When you look back, I mean, shoot, going back, because I didn't know you were at this, you're 18 years old, and you've come across, like you said before, there's some people who will take you for everything you've got, and this one transaction, you never want to see him again. Then there's guys like that agent you mentioned too, that mm-hmm. he's a shark, but he's a good guy, and I'll deal with him as long as he's in business, I'll work with him. If you look at all the people you've dealt with in business, is there one common trait that the successful ones all have?
They're not bridge burners. You know, they're not, they don't burn bridges. And I think I've seen that. They're, you know, Elon told me this a long time ago, is life is long, life is not short. Like, people you knew 20 years ago, in the case of my partners at the alcohol company, alcohol failed. You know, we still stay together, we remain friends. So, you know, alcohol failed 15 years ago. 15 years later, I'm calling them with, let's do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 24 hours, they were at my house with samples and everything. We were ready to go with Happy Dad, you know? So I didn't burn a bridge with them. You know, I could have told them, like, ah, you know what? Company failed. You're responsible. for all the old bills. Yeah. My mouth. I'm going to go make a social media company with my brother.
Yep.
You know, but we didn't do that. We ended things good. Nice. So when I needed them 15 years later, because I met the Nelk Boys and I promised Kyle that we're going to make the best alcohol in the world. And I've got the partners to do that. And these guys came and helped me do that.
It really does. In anything, it really does come down to relationships. I mean, we complicate things and you can go get your MBA, you know, yeah. Take all these granular courses and everything. But really, at the end of the day, whatever business you're in, like I said, if you have a dry cleaner, you have a social media company, or you have an alcohol brand, it really is just about relationships. And some people either, it seems like, you know, I've been around, it seems like people either get that or they don't.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing is, for me, is the ones that don't, you can't shake them and make them get it. They just don't.
Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
You stay with the ones
you just stay clear of those people. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, I like to focus on the people who actually help add value to my life. So I focus on them and I don't try to waste my time changing people.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm very good with cutting people out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very, very good. I've started doing that on social media.
What do you mean?
If someone says something bad, I just hit block so fast.
Do you really?
Oh, instantly. Before, I was like, damn, why did that guy say that? Like,
I never block. Yeah. I just laugh. I don't even fuck
that block button's become my favorite button recently. Hezbollah said something funny the other day. He said his block list is larger than his followers list. Like, I was like, dude, you and me are the same, bro. Like, same. Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do right now is block.
Well, your other favorite thing to do is building businesses. So talk about Happy Dad. How's it doing? Talk about your successes. How many states you're in?
Good.
How's penetration? How's it looking?
Yeah. So we're currently, the last week of March, we're in 16 states, but we're launching 5 in April.
Wow, congrats. Yeah,
5 major ones too. So and there might be a 6th, maybe not in April and May, but yeah, we're launching Michigan, Ohio, Maryland, D.C., Missouri, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we just started adding... because it helps Virginia and D.C. is Maryland and D.C. Virginia.
Okay.
So we're now trying to accelerate launching Virginia as well. We're in a lot of states. We're distributed by RNDC and they're one of the best distributors out there. So we're launching. They cover some of the states that we're launching. And then another great partner of us, Breakthrough Beverages, they cover some of the other states. So it was really like, and it wasn't like we had to go interview distributors or anything.
Oh, nice.
Our existing distributors covered it. And they were the best distributors for that state, too. So it wasn't like we were settling because we were comfortable. It's like, okay, our existing partners happen to be the best in those states. So let's go with them. So those will be launching soon. We have a new flavor that we're launching. If anyone saw on our social media or on Snoop Dogg's social media, it's in partnership with Death Row Records. And so it's a Happy Dad Death Row Records collaboration.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we kind of let like Snoop like take the creative of it. Like, so he came up with the flavor.
What's the flavor?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Does Snoop just smoke weed in these marketing meetings? Is that like just wherever he is?
Sometimes. I mean, he's usually, you know, he's usually high, but some of the meetings.
Do they get smoky?
They don't, because we have alcohol in the room. So you can't really have, like, there's a lot of laws. California might not be as strict as other states, but other states will frown upon.
Oh, okay.
You know, even though it was filmed in California, gotcha. But like. We just don't want to have to explain that. Like, oh, okay. Hey, sorry, state, whatever. Like, don't worry. We filmed this in California where it's legal and this and that. So we just don't really like.
Not worth that.
So Snoop's a businessman. He's like, dude, I don't need to smoke.
Yeah.
So the Death Row Happy Dad collab, that's like the number one thing top of mind right now.
Yeah, okay.
Even though the states are very important, 5 states and a 6th one just added. We're launching Canada as well this summer. We're going to probably cover 80% of the country on day one, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So Well, I mean, half of Canada lives in Ontario, pretty much.
Okay.
So, so we'll have that. So it's just been, you know, and then part of Death Row, this hasn't been announced, but might as well just say it anyways. Part of the Happy Dad collab, Death Row collab, there'll be a Happy Dad Death Row merch collab as well on happydad.com and on Amazon. So we'll have it available on Amazon. So just a lot of different things going on, you know, and Snoop's not the last of the partnerships. You know, there's a couple other big partnerships that we're going to be announcing shortly after Snoop too. So yeah, there's, so between creating the product, distributing the product, marketing the product, and then thinking what's next for the product, we're pretty busy.
Now, the core demo for the guys is 25 to 35 year old guys, right? Now, is Happy Dad the same demo? Or when you bring Snoop, Snoop's going to bring a different demo. Is there a Happy Mom I heard about? Yeah. You know, was there more women drinking Happy Dad than you thought? You know,
a lot more.
Before you launched, what did you think the audience was going to look like, or the customer? And what does it look like now?
We thought the audience was going to be 25 to 30, but the audience for Happy Dad goes up to 50s.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. It's really because, a lot of female like to drink Happy Dad. One is they really like the taste of it. Not too sweet, but, you know, it's not bitter. And also, I think what's funny is we have minimal carbonation compared to other seltzers, and
so you don't burp as much,
pretty much. So, and women like that. Yeah that was by accident, actually. It was by accident we did that, and we realized, yeah, gag reflex, everything. Like, women love it because of that. They're like, I don't burp, I don't, you know. Yeah, that's led to like a lot of women. That's why we're doing Happy Mom, because like the only thing is, I love Happy Dad, but why Happy Dad? Like, where's Happy Mom?
Yeah.
So, all right, ladies, we got you.
Well, first of all, why Happy Dad? 25 to 30 year old guys these days usually aren't dads. So why, where's the name Happy Dad even come from? Why Dad? Yeah.
You know, when we were creating Happy Dad, the mood boards that we had in the room was pretty much all like Happy Gilmore, the movie, with the mood boards.
Okay.
So we were just like, what if there was a drink in that movie? What would it be called? And that's where Happy Dad came out. Yeah.
Okay.
So the mood board, like the whole idea was golf, fun golf, funny golf, have a good time golf, not serious golf, not PGA golf, but like funny golf. What is funny golf? Happy Gilmore is funny golf. When you think of funny golf, you think of Happy Gilmore. And so that's like all our mood boards and everything was all based around the movie Happy Gilmore, which, yeah, so that's where Happy Dad came around.
Is that how you launch a brand? If you're sitting down with, hey, John, here's creator C. She wants to create a brand. She doesn't know what she wants to create. Is that what you do? Do you start at that level, just kind of drawing it out as a mood board? Yeah. What are you into? What do you like? What's the vibe?
Yeah, what colors do you like? But, you know, everything. Like, what are the colorings? You know, Happy Dad, one of the things that we really wanted is we wanted it to look like a beer. You know, even if you see that truck, like that truck looks like it's from like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
That toy truck. You know, it's like, it looks like Happy Dad could be a 100-year-old company. You know, it's like, it's really this like nostalgic branding behind Happy Dad that we went after. So, so that was kind of the idea. It was like nostalgic, but fun, golf, beer, something you could drink at a bar while eating your burger, watching a game. Like, all these different things were like thoughts and ideas that kind of built the brand.
And you talked too about it doesn't stop with Happy Dad. You said your vision, you said that you had two visions, which I liked. You said Barstool Sports, and shout out to Dave Portnoy, because I think he's one of the most underrated media guys from the last 20 years that no one seems to talk about. I don't know why.
Best. You got to interview him.
I would love to. I was supposed to do it in the Hamptons.
What happened?
Last year, but the timing didn't work for some reason. I had a wedding to go to, and he only had one.
I can't get enough of Dave Portnoy on podcast.
He's the greatest. I
just listened, when he was on Rogan, obviously I listened to that.
Yep.
He was on Theo Vaughn. just did something else. Impulsive the other day. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Logan does a great, shout out to Impulsive too. He does a great job.
Logan's great, but
Portnoy.
Can't get enough of Portnoy. Like, no.
You know. And I just want to talk to him about business. I mean,
you got
to
get him
talk
on,
about
babe.
Talk just podcasts. I mean, signing Alex early on, and look at what she's doing now. I mean,
which Alex?
Call her daddy. Call her daddy. Yeah. I mean,
there are a lot of people. What's his name? Caleb.
Caleb. He just keeps developing talent. He can spot
us and the boy. Like, yeah. $1 million worth of game.
Yeah,
like, that's one of my favorite podcasts. And they love him. Like, they always,
and BFF,
like,
with Josh Richards. Who would have thought that would be great? I mean, what kind of, who on paper, that doesn't even make sense.
He told me he was doing that. We had dinner with him a couple years ago. He told me he was going to do that. I hope he doesn't remember this, but he told me he was going to do that. I was like, you sure you want to do that? Yeah. I remember saying that to him.
And I interviewed Josh, and he, like, around that time was going on, I'm like, Josh seemed like a nice enough kid.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know much about Josh, but now I love Josh.
Yeah, I love Josh.
I love the girl, too. Brianna?
Yeah.
Brianna, like, no, now it's like one of my, I love
it. But at the time, it seemed like a terrible idea.
Yeah, I remember I told him we were at Catch dinner 2-3 years ago, and I was like, but now I hope he doesn't remember me saying that, because, you know, he is a I told you so type of guy. So, but yeah, they're fucking, yeah, that's crushing. I mean, everything. I love the guy. You got to get him on here.
Oh, I'd love to sit down with him.
Yeah, send me this clip and I'll send it to him.
Done.
Say,
well, first I'll say I told you so.
No, he's going to say I told you so to me.
Why do people sleep on him? Is it because he's so outspoken? Yeah, because to me, I look at him because I realize you sit down and do enough of these. Sit down with these people.
Because he doesn't please people. He doesn't give a fuck.
Well, do people realize people play a character when the camera's on? I mean,
I don't even think he's a character,
you
man.
Think he's just, is he always like
that? Yeah.
Is he really?
Yes. Yeah, he's not even a character.
No?
No. And he knows what I'm talking about. We get into some arguments sometimes. Like, I'm arguing with a guy that talks on, you know, like I'm not going after you, Dave. Like, I'm good. Like, no, he's
And didn't he start out, what was the story? Like, he was hustling. Like, didn't he have a newsletter or something, right?
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories where he was
fantasy newsletter?
Yeah, where he was actually handing it out and putting on.
Or bets or something, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was
I think he's, I've said this before, I think he's one of the greatest sports entrepreneurs out there right now. Like, if you take away all the like the franchise team owners and all those people that no one even knows their names, like, sports entrepreneurs, he's top three greatest.
I'd even go a step further and say media entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
he's a media guy when you think about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got websites, he's got channels, he's got podcasts.
He's got alcohol, he's got, I mean, he pretty much put Heineken
on the map. He's reviewing pizzas.
He's got that platform. Like, yeah, he's, I fucking love him. That's why you got to get him on here. We need more Dave Portnoy podcasts.
So is that kind of where you see Full Send? Is that kind of the model there? Is that kind of, do you look at him for some, hey, we'd like to be, if we can get there in 5-10 years, have other shows. So it's kind of like what you're doing with the network anyway.
Yeah,
right?
I think anyone that wants to be in cool network would probably model themselves after Barstools.
Sure.
You know, I think they're the ones that really nailed it. And I think newer generations going to want to be, you know, just like, you know, you're a tech company, and, you know, a hardware company, you want to be the Apple, you know, like, you know, you looked up to Apple, everyone, Apple this, Apple that. You know, I think when if you're in the sports or, you know, 25 to 30 year old male business, like, you look at Barstools and what they've done
for
know?
Sure,
you know. So I think by the way, I know he just sold it, but he's still running the company, and it's still Barstools, still
it's still
making moves, and they sold to Penn, which is like one of the biggest iGaming companies out there, right? So you're gonna see so much disruption when it comes to sports betting, you know, with the Barstool brand. I already see it right now, you know, like, you already kind of see it, but I think there'll be more with that too. So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I think anyone in the media world that's in the business we're in would probably look at Barstools.
And you look at the other side of your business too, right? You got consumer goods, right? You have beverages, you have beef jerky too. We've got pork jerky.
Yeah.
I read that you kind of look at yourself like, Pepsi. A lot of people don't realize they think Pepsi, and they go, okay, maybe they know Dasani, but you know, they used to own Taco Bell and KFC and Long John Silver's, maybe.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Yeah. I mean, they had everything in the food and beverage space. Yeah. They had a little piece of everything. Is that kind of what you're looking to build?
Yeah, with Happy Dad, I mean, we kind of look at Happy Dad as like, you know, I say this a lot, like, I don't, you know, Happy Dad is not just a seltzer company. Like, we're not in the seltzer business.
What business are you in?
We're in the shelf space business. So we're, you know, we've got the relationships with all the different retailers, mostly. Not 90% of Happy Dad sales are out of gas stations, convenience stores, grocery stores.
Okay.
90% plus. So we've got those relationships now. So what more can we do while we've got those relationships? Because they love us. They love working with us. They love our product. They love our brand. They love our marketing, the support, the love we show. So what more can we do with them? That's why we're launching Board Jerky. Board Jerky is our beef jerky brand. Four different flavors launching this summer. There'll be other products. You know, we're looking at other products. Some maybe in alcohol, some in the junk food space. Maybe other non-alcoholic beverages. We're looking at other products.
Okay.
But while we're in those stores, we want to take over the shelves.
Is that yours? Do you have the sales team? Is that your team, or do you outsource that to somebody else?
Everything's internal.
You have your own whole sales team.
Actually, when we go do a tour, there's, I think, four new guys that just joined our team week. So we're hiring 4 to 6 people a week, every single week right now.
And I'll tell you what, I came from a sales background before I decided to do this for whatever reason. Maybe I have rocks in my head. I had a, you know, corporate sales gig for my whole life. Explain why sales is a good job. People kind of in the tech and creator space, you know, maybe sales isn't cool. Maybe it's kind of like an old school career, but I mean, you can make a ton of money and it's a pretty fun, enjoyable job.
If the brand is right, you know, before you came in, I was talking to our new hires, and I said, you know, it's very, very, very easy to sell something that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to sell something great. And I think that's where Happy Dad kind of fits right now. It's, you know, but why?
You don't have to fool anybody.
You don't have to, yeah, exactly.
You don't have to fool anybody.
You're not, you know, whatever.
You're not a used car salesman.
I always tell, like, a lot of the retailers that took Happy Dad on, I used to tell them this. I used to say, hey, I know this looks like you're doing me a favor by carrying Happy Dad, but you're going to see, actually, I did you a favor, you know? And now they see it. It's like, you know, like the resales are through the roof. We're adding more SKUs. You know, we've added single flavor packs. We added fruit punch. We brought in banana. We're launching the Death Row collab soon. Happy Mom shortly after that. We have a 24 pack coming out. We have 24 ounce can coming out. So we have all these different products now that people are actually buying. Like, they're going to the store because we're doing the proper marketing. Mm-hmm. Everything we're doing, from our social content, the content that's integrated into the Noke channels, all our podcast content. And we're, you know, if you listen to any of our podcasts right now, we shout out 3 to 10 new bars and restaurants that carry Happy Dad on these podcasts. Steve Will Do His podcast is doing it. The Full Sin podcast is doing it. Salim's is going to start doing it. You know what I mean? Like, we show the love back, you know? This is like, I mean, Full Sin podcast, number one podcast on YouTube right now. How much would it cost to get your bar or restaurant?
They could never afford it.
You know what I mean?
Never.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if someone called me and said, shout out my bar or restaurant on your podcast,
I'd be
like,
all right.
Yeah. Or, okay, cool. 100 grand? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're giving them that
marketing.
You still
there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, So
what happens when they show up at a bar? So I know you can't do that for all your partners because I mean, these guys have lives. But I see you on, you know, on Instagram and stuff when they do this. What happens if they're in a bar in Tampa who just
depends. I mean, so they just went, it was on all of our social, like an absolute zoo in south of Florida, Key West.
Okay.
Key West. But it was spring break.
Oh, that's
right?
Awesome.
So it was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it was. You know, so,
but forget spring break. There's a bar in Missouri that's open and you decide you want to go to it.
Yeah.
What do the guys bring in when they show up at a grocery store or a bar or whatever?
Well, I think, you know, there's two things that really happen. And I think publicly there's always a crowd that shows up.
Of course.
Word spreads and a crowd shows up. And there's some customers that show up, but the truth is when they show up, they just showed up while the boys were there and, you know, they dipped.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, but the follow-up is very important for us. The follow-up meaning like, we'll always show that bar or all the bars, that even the ones that the boys didn't show up, it's love on socials. We add all of them on our website. You know, happydad.com gets over 100,000 visits a day. Unique visitors a day on happydad.com. It's insane. It's insane. It's people going there, whether they're searching for a location, reading more about it, or just going there to pick up merch because our merch is on the site. But there's over 100,000 unique visitors a day every day on happydad.com. So when they're going on there and you see that find button and you go there and you put in your, well, by default, if your location is on your Chrome browser, it'll show you immediately everyone around you that carries Happy Dad, and we include the bars and restaurants in there. So, you know, we show that. We bring the foot traffic back for them afterwards, too. We show them love on social. Like I was mentioning, our podcast, we give them shout-outs in every podcast episode now. So I think that, you know, but then that's going back to your question earlier about why our sales important is, like, that's where our sales staff is important, to go back and, you know, hey, we got new coasters. Could we replace these Heineken coasters with our coasters? I'm gonna share something with you. I'm sure it'll get stolen if I say this, but I don't really care. You know, a lot of restaurants have the QR code menus now.
Yeah.
Most of them look kind of weird, like beaten up. We're going to create a system where we'll print the QR codes for you, and we're going to create something really, really nice on good quality paper, and we'll send you unlimited amounts. But the only thing is, on our cue card menus now, the nice ones that we do, and we're going to put them on coasters and all these different unique ways, there's going to be a Happy Dad logo on there.
Of course.
You know? So,
free, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just says Happy Dad available here. So while you're scanning that, you already saw Happy Dad available here, and, you know, you're scanning it, and you don't even have to go down to the menu to see what you want to drink. You're ordering your pizza and you say, hey, by the way, I'll take a Happy Dad too, because we're already letting you know. So, you know, those little things that we do, but that's also saving the retailer money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to spend that unnecessary money and get some printout ugly thing. We're going to make it look super nice. So the follow-up is extremely important. That's where our sales team comes in to make sure. So it's not just about the guys going there. That just creates some online buzz.
Sure.
It's the follow-up and the relationship building with the bars and restaurants, because everyone to me is important. You know, and I was telling the sales team this before you came in, is I don't care if it's the 80-year-old man that owns a liquor store in the middle of nowhere, or it's the buyer of Publix, same person to me. Nobody's different. The buyer of Publix, no different to me than the 80-year-old man. They're carrying our product, we service them.
Mm-hmm.
You give the Publix person just as much attention as you give the liquor store in the middle of nowhere attention. That's, I think, a philosophy that we have here that I think is really important. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, if I have a call with that 80-year-old man about some advice or helping him get maybe, you know, some POS items, point of sale items for a store, and Publix once again on call, or Walmart gets a call, I'm not canceling a call with that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just the mentality here, and that top down goes down to the entire sales team, and that's how our team treats all our partners. And I think that's why our partners love us, and that's why they're like, John, what's next? What else do you get? Oh, hey, Ahmad, we have a beef jerky coming out too. Do you mind if, you know, give it a shot? We'll show you the marketing on that. And by the way, we're going to have a bunch of, you know, this is a work in progress, but a lot of our NFT holders of the MetaCard are going to be involved with the beef jerky. So, you know, we're going to have some extra support for you in addition to our team.
Wow. But at the end of the day, it really, I mean, everything you just said is great, but it doesn't work if the product's no good. Because like you said, you know, you can bring the guys in anywhere,
yeah,
and it'll generate a ton of buzz. It'll get people in the door. People will buy it. They're there. They're caught up in the moment. They're buying merch. Yeah. They're buying Happy Dad. Great. When they go home and the ether wears off and they go, this tastes like shit, they ain't never coming back again.
That's good.
But your big metric, right? What do you call it? I'm not the beverage, but the repeat buys.
The rebuys.
Is that what it's all about?
Yeah.
And that's really shows you if the product's good or
yeah,
not.
Yeah. So there was a time over the last few months, we haven't launched. I think the last state we launched was Illinois. In Illinois, we didn't launch till like early last summer, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So we haven't launched a new state in 6 or 9 months.
Oh, wow.
And we haven't done many store visits in a while. We've done a few maybe, but not as many. And sales are up through the roof. So if we haven't launched any new states, we haven't revisited the existing ones, sales are through the roof at the existing states. Sales are just as big this year as they were 1 year ago this time when we launched the states. Because obviously that first month of launch is going to be your biggest month. Everyone's excited. All the retailers are excited. The boys are visiting.
Yep.
It's going to be your biggest month. But when we look at a lot of those states 1 year later,
mm-hmm.
it's still growing. You know, so
that speaks volumes.
Yeah. You know? So, you know, they're liking the product. It's not a dead product.
Is the goal, you look at Jessica Alba and Anna's company, right? When it first came out, it was Jessica Alba, that she was the brand. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I've got, my kids are older now, but when my wife would buy diapers or something or a product at Target, Anna's company, Jessica Alba wasn't on my wife's mind. It was, this is a good company. They make quality products that are safe for our kids. Do you imagine Happy Dad and all this moving beyond the guys?
It has to.
Is that the goal? Is that how these creator brands have to, if they're going to survive, they have to
has
live
to be bigger.
It has to be bigger.
It has to be bigger. It's Beats by Dre ended up being way bigger than Dr. Dre.
Yep.
You know, Vitamin Water ended up being way bigger than 50 Cent.
Yep.
You know, Casamigos ended up being way bigger than George Clooney. You know, so it's got to, or else.
Mint Mobile. That's the latest
one. I didn't even know he owned it.
It's crazy. Who knew?
Ryan Reynolds, I had no idea he owned it.
Yep.
Until it sold. I was like, what the f***? He owned that? It's got to be, the brand has got to be, but that, you know, that's the beauty of our partners. They want that too, you know, like they don't want, because the ego sometimes says, no, throw my name on there. Like this and that, this has got to be about me.
Yep.
And, you know, like when I said earlier, you know, Happy Dad sales on happydad.com are growing. That's taken away from Folsom.com. You would think the Folsom boys would be like, wait a minute. We can't let that happen. They're not. They're like, dude, no. Happy Dad's got to be its own thing. That's got to grow too.
It could have easily been Folsom Seltzer.
It could.
Or Kyle Seltzer.
It almost was.
Steve
it
Seltzer.
It almost was. It was almost called Sen Seltzer. But we're like, dude, this is going to be too tied to us, you know, to Nilk. So, I think you got to kind of let go of the, you know, the ego. And
Logan and KSI's name's not on it.
Mm-mm.
It's Prime.
Prime, you know. So you got to let go of the ego and, you know, and be, allow something to be bigger than you. You know, so trying to think some examples, but the brands are probably dead, so I don't even know what they are. But there are, you know, I mean, even like creators merch in the back in the day, you mm-hmm. know, it's like Full Send is Nilk Boys merch.
Yep.
You know, and there are some merch pieces that say Nilk on them. But most of the sales are Full Send.
Mm-hmm.
But the creators that just put their name on the shit, you know what I mean? Like, who bought that?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I love so-and-so. You know, it's like, all right, you sold one of that. They probably got made fun of for one night.
And now,
you know what I mean? Like, never wore it again, never bought it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but, you know, Full Send, still years later, repeat customers. You know, anytime there's a new drop, the same customers are coming back buying again.
I think that's a great, you know, thing to end on, right? Whatever your business is, you are.
Just let it. It's got to be bigger than you.
Bigger than you.
You know, Nilk Boys are massive because Nilk Boys' name is bigger than Steve and Kyle. And then now, that Full Send ended up becoming bigger than Nilk Boys. And now Happy Dad's becoming bigger than Full Send. And that's where you build an empire. That's what these boys are building, an empire. Allowing one thing to be bigger than the other.
And you can bring people in. You can bring Salim in. You can bring Snoop mm-hmm. in. It's not just you.
Yeah.
When exactly. it's just you, there's no room for growth. It's exactly. you.
Exactly.
And you can only be in so many places at one time, right?
Dana White's huge, but UFC's bigger. And he allowed that. You know what I mean? He allowed that.
Yep.
You know, like a lot of people, like my dad, for instance, he knows Dana's face, but he doesn't know Dana's name. But he knows UFC. You know, but Dana allowed that. And that's why UFC's worth billions, you know, and still killing the game, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's an important thing, you know, allow the brand to be bigger than the creator.
Yeah. Couple questions for you, man.
Yeah.
What's the best piece of business advice you've ever gotten?
I don't react quick, you know. I don't
You seem pretty even keeled.
Yeah, I just, you know, I, you know, whatever it is, even if someone wants to on my day, I just sit back and I think. And if, like, you know, if I want to take someone out, you know what I do? What? If there's someone that needs to be taken out, well, I block them, but that's on social media. That's just, if someone wants to be taken out, because if they're dumb enough to come at me, I just let them take themselves out. You know, people self-destruct, you know what I mean? So let them do it, you know? So, you know, in business, I think a lot of people try to come at you for all different reasons. Jealousy, hatred, whatever it is. I don't really react. I just stay focused on what's on my plate. Nothing is going to change my to-do list today. Nothing. Nothing is going to change my to-do list. Laser focused on that, tunnel vision. So if something tries to come at you, just people end up self-destructing.
You're right. What do you think are some of the best industries to get wealthy in 2023 for the young entrepreneur watching who wants to start something, doesn't even know where to begin?
You know, I love consumer goods products.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's a huge move for disruption when it comes to food and beverage. You know, I think, you know, when I say I'm in the shelf space business, I think these shelves have been occupied by companies that are decades and, you know, hundreds of years old, over 100 years old. And I think it's time for, like, the new generation to take over. You know, you're seeing it with us. You're seeing it with Prime. You're seeing it with Mr. Beast. You know, I think
Dobrik. You should have him on.
I think.
But I talked to him. I was just interested.
I told Dobrik this. This is what I told him. David and I talk work a lot.
Yeah.
And I
he wouldn't do video, though. He would only do audio. He wouldn't go on camera because of his thing with YouTube.
Okay. David Dobrik's pizza needs to be a frozen pizza, and he needs to get that in the fucking Costco and Walmart and fucking grocery stores.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I really think David Dobrik. And I told him that a couple weeks ago.
You're right.
It's like, that's what he's got to do.
Yep.
You know, don't go and open up 100 of them because the
so
quality
much,
control is going to be.
Startup cost, everything.
Such a pain in the ass. You know, like,
for sure.
Go make a frozen pizza company, and you're going to have a $1 billion company in a year.
Yep.
You know, so I think he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully he doesn't forget me. But, you know, but I wish David Dobrik is a sweet, sweet man. I love that guy.
Dude. Yeah, me
too. I would
too.
Do anything. You know, he calls me all the time. We have no business relations. It's just friendship. And he'll call me once every couple months, like, hey, I'm stuck on this. What do you think I should do? And, you know, and then Dobrik was an example. I was like, dude, frozen pizza.
You just on that real quick, and we're almost out of time, but talk about that because you know everybody. Right? I mean, if you don't know John, just look him up on social. He's everywhere. He knows everybody. But you're not the typical kind of Hollywood guy you see where you're always trying to get an angle. Mm. That doesn't seem like, you seem like the opposite of all the other people that I kind of see out there, where it doesn't seem like you're always looking to get something right now out of this. A lot of people look at relationships like transactional. Mm-hmm. What can I get out of this person right now? Okay. Yeah. I've got 5 minutes and I need to get a return on my 5 minutes and I need this. You seem just to enjoy that. Hey, I like David. He's a sweet dude. We're in kind of similar industries and space. I like what he does. He likes what I do. I'm cool. Just kicking it with no agenda, or I'm not trying to get anything out of him.
He's just a good person. I
is that how you look at relationships?
I like good people.
Yeah,
you know
for sure,
I mean?
Me too.
There's a lot of people in this industry that are pieces of shit. I never talk to them.
Yeah.
I already know them.
Yeah.
I've come across them. I've seen it. I won't talk to them. But there's some really good people. I mean, obviously, the group of guys I work with are the sweetest guys. That's why I put all my chips into these guys. But I mean, there are people like David Dobrik, Logan and Jake.
Oh, Logan. Yeah, both of them.
David Portnoy. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are all my buddies. We'll exchange. Like, we got great relationships. You know, the agent I was talking about from UTA, I don't do business with him. He's just a cool dude. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of good people, and I try to focus on the good people. And the bad, they just shoot themselves in the foot. They self-destruct. And, you know, there are some people, man, I'd love to, but I'm not going to. Shout out to some of these guys, you know, that just decided to be dummies. You know, I just focus on really good people. David Dobrik's a sweet, sweet man. Logan Paul is a sweet man.
I love
Big Mike, like that whole crew, like all those guys are just good human beings. I do no business with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Logan was at Lele Pons's wedding, and he's like, he texts me, he's like, hey, you think it'd be worth me setting up a podcast?
I saw there? He just did. I didn't watch the episode.
I
was
like,
yeah,
I think it'd be worth it. Why don't you get Lele the day after her wedding on your podcast? You know, so like, you know, I just,
that's cool.
There was no transaction there. It was just a friendly thing. And by the way, if I called Logan and asked him for something, doing it in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Like, even if I ask for something, the only thing I care about with like Logan or Mr. Beast is another sweet man. Yeah. And his manager Reed as
Reed's
well.
Reed's great. Shout out to Reed. No.
You got to.
I tried. He's blown me off a million times. Shame on you, Reed.
Yeah. He's
big time. They got a million things going on.
Well, they're crushing it with chocolates.
Crushing with everything.
Yeah. Reed will get on here. It'll happen. These guys are just, but you know, if I ever needed anything, which the only thing I would really care about, a lot of nieces and nephews. So the only thing
free prime.
No, not free. Well, he sends me free prime.
Doesn't he really?
He sends me free prime, and I'm
that's
also
worth this weight in gold.
All my nephews, they're all like, all my nephews live within a few miles of me, and all they tell their parents is we want to go to Uncle John's house. Why? Not because he has a cool house and he's got a pool and he got TVs and all the Aunt Renee makes some food. No. He has prime. You know what I mean? So they all come over. And I send pictures of Logan all the
hell
time.
Yeah.
Of like, it's like me and all the adults drinking Happy Dad and all the kids are on the couch drinking prime. So
I love that.
But no, the only thing I would ever ask in return from them is like, you know, if one of my nephews or nieces wants like a picture, wants to meet you, mm-hmm. or, you know, a video, it's their birthday. Like, that's the only thing I care about is like making the kids happy.
Yeah.
Because they have Logan and Mr. Beast. Has such a young audience.
Yeah. Logan, I think that, but then when I look at Impulsive, like that appeals to me. I'm 45. I'll be 45 on Monday. That appeals to me, and I'm not a young. I mean, does the content he does have different
WWE.
Audiences? Young demo, right?
WWE got him the 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
Oh,
and
no shit. Okay.
13-year-olds. Yeah, WWE.
Oh, wow.
Logan Paul is most young kids between 8 and 12s.
More than Jake. In that demo, you think
Jake
became
aged
a villain.
Up. Villain and aged up, but like a
true.
Funny villain, right? So
yeah,
like
yeah.
Guys like me and you now laugh at Jake Paul content.
Yeah,
it's like, you
course.
Know, it's like, yo, he's fucking funny. He's trolling this guy. This is hilarious.
Yeah,
you know,
best.
So now we started doing that. But Logan, because of WWE, got the 8 to 12-year-old, which I don't know if he did. I don't think he did us on purpose, but this happened for him is now it just crushing it with prime, because I think maybe he was trying, I don't know his marketing plan and idea. I don't know if he was trying to go after us with prime,
mm-hmm.
you know, targeting the 30 to 40 year olds,
mm-hmm.
but what he ended up getting is the 8 to 12 year old, which is fucking
great.
Jackpot. So so I think
now he needs an alcohol brand as they age up to get him into that.
I don't think he will. I think that's why he got into energy drinks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
to get
prime
as
an
older
energy drink. Yeah, yeah, because I think it's going to be very tricky for a very long time to pivot from drinks for 8 to 12-year-olds to
that's
alcohol.
True.
I think that's why you don't see Pepsi in the alcohol business. Cause
it's a mixed
Gatorade.
Message, kind of.
Yeah, because you have Gatorade and, you know, Pepsi is always targeted to the youth, you know? So I think that's why Pepsi doesn't have an alcohol brand. Or Coke. I mean, Coke, Topo Chico just launched a seltzer, but... You know, they never really think they've always wanted to get that younger person, which is what Logan got.
Yeah.
You know, like Logan's got that 8 to 12-year-old, which is what Gatorade and Powerade and all these people have been trying to get.
And you got that 25 to 30-year-old.
We got the 25 to 30-year-old.
There's enough to go around.
Yeah,
that's the message in this, John.
Yeah.
There's a big enough pie for
everybody.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
There really
everyone
is.
Always asks.
Everybody tries to fight.
Those are the people I block. Is like, dude, like Logan shared his numbers. Why don't you share your numbers? I'm like, dude. Shut up. Don't compare us. Like, it's so different. Like, it's so, so different. This is not, by the way, this is not a competition.
There's
like,
enough to go around.
It's a whole different business.
A
sports drink is way different than an alcohol, way different than a chocolate, way different than a frozen pizza, you know, way different than sports supplements. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're all so different, you know? And yeah, there's enough to go around. And by the way, if it was another, we support other alcohols. We do it all the time. Kevin Hart's supposed to come on Folsom Podcast. I was like, dude, bring your fucking tequila. We're going to put all your tequila right next to the Happy Dad. You know, what other alcohol brand would
None.
Say that? They'd be like, dude, no, you can't have your alcohol. We have ours. I was like, dude, we will put your fucking tequilas on top of our happy dads. Like, we will put them. In fact, why don't we create a happy dad and his tequila cocktail? You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's how we think. It's like, you know, we support everybody. You know, by the way, I got this from Dana White. Dana White has an alcohol. He has a whiskey.
Oh, I didn't know
he
that.
Supports the shit out of Happy Dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what do we do for Dana? We support the shit out of his whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no interest in his whiskey at all.
But you know what's different about you guys? Like you said before, that 100-year-old brand, Jack Daniels,
yeah,
would never do that.
Mm-mm.
But you're right. This industry does need younger perspective to look at things and go, that's the way things were done, but yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. We don't have to continue to do
brand,
that.
No brand would ever allow another brand to be next to theirs, especially in the same world. And they might even argue that a beverage is a beverage, whether it's Prime or Celsius or something. Don't put it next to ours. We want people drinking this.
Yep.
That's not how we think. Dude, come and do yourself. There's plenty of business. Happy Dad's going to be good with or without anybody. You know what I mean? Happy Dad's at this point, like, doesn't need all the attention. And Happy Dad's gotten to this place because we've always been supporting. We've been supporting Dana's whiskey from day one. You know, we didn't stop supporting his whiskey. And, you know, when he's got a whiskey and he's got all these deals with UFC and his beer companies, he's still supporting Happy Dad. You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's just the right way to do it because, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, is like, I think life is long. Life is not short. You know what I mean? Like, we're here for the long game, yeah, not the short game.
I think that's a great place to
end,
man.
Good.
I mean, what better message than that for the youth out there?
Yeah, well, that's what I hope whoever listening, you know, get off your ass, go do something, you know. You're going to figure it out. Don't give up. You know, I think that's the thing with social media is like nothing is overnight. You know what I mean? And whatever.
People think it's overnight because of social media.
What moves fast burns fast. You know what I mean? So it's probably not a good thing if it's overnight. Sometimes some people are overnight sensations. It happens.
There's one Alex Earl and there's one Emma Chamberlain when it happens like that.
But what did those two do? They went and found proper teams.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They never were like, I got this, me, me. Nope. There are a lot of influencers out there like, no, me. I don't need nobody.
Where are they?
But, you know, like Alex Earl, you know, Emma, call her daddy girl.
Yeah.
You know, they've surrounded themselves with the right teams. And
they had talent, found their voice, and worked their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
I read that, like, Dave wasn't paying her a ton of money. I think she was making, like, 70 grand a year for several years when she was at Barstool. She wasn't getting rich, but she knew that was her shot, and she was going to work her ass off to build that audience.
She worked her ass off. He paid her what made sense for them.
Yeah.
But he gave her the platform.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's not all just it's more than just the paycheck sometimes.
There's no dollar amount to getting the platform. If the brand, if it's on brand, which seems like Caller Daddy was on brand for Barstool, you know, somebody was, I've never listened to Caller Daddy, but I think until lately, I watched the Chelsea Handler episode a little bit. But back when it was underneath Barstool, I never watched or listened to Caller Daddy, but somebody did, right? Yeah. Like that platform, like somebody liked what they were talking about, and you know, look what happened with her. So yeah, it's, you know, and by the way, when she hit the fan with all that drama that they always talk about, because I love listening to Dave on podcast, she never burnt a bridge with him. You know what I mean? And now he's always talking about praising her. You know what I mean? And they have no business relationship, doesn't seem like, but he's always
praising her. Life is long.
Life is long, right? She didn't burn a bridge with Dave Portnoy.
Nope.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, brother. Yeah. It was a real pleasure. It was an honor to sit down with you. Guys, make sure you listen to the podcast too. If you can't, you can watch the whole video. Make sure you subscribe and turn on notifications. New interviews every Tuesday with the most successful people in the world. So thanks so much for watching, guys.